Welcome back to another episode of the Common Sense Academy,
where common sense just ain't common. Yeah, deep sigh and deep breath on this one, because for real, common sense is
left the building.
Well, yeah, not is, has left the building with the quickness. There, normally we kind of start off and
thank you very much.
We start off and we just talk, pick a couple topics, and we run through it. I got to tell you guys, there is so much going on right now in this country that we could legitimately talk for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. Right? We're going to try not to
and
do
not
that.
Even scratch the surface.
Not even scratch the surface.
We struggled for the first time in all the years we've been doing this. Now the 3 years we've been doing this, this is the first time we sat here and struggled about what to start to talk about, and we just decided just to go. We could start anywhere. I want to start with what is going on with people. How are we so oblivious to reality? When we talk about common sense here, and it's somewhat tongue in cheek, right? Because I mean, everybody knows common sense is not common, but we're beyond common sense. We're to the point now where it's irrationality.
Yeah. To a certain degree,
when I'm hearing people think that EBT, student loans, all those things are fake money, they just put it on a card. The government doesn't print it; it's just a number out there. Yeah, well, so is your bank account. But I guess if you don't have money, you don't know that either. I mean, it's all digital, but it's all backed by something.
True,
it's supposed to be. It's
supposed to be.
It's a whole other conversation, but I'm not going to go there.
So, in case you haven't guessed, yes, we have been talking about the government shutdown and some of the consequences to the shutdown, one of which being the upcoming expiration of the EBT program because it's not being funded. Now, let me preface this by saying I don't have intimate knowledge of the program. What I'm talking about and what I hear is typically the same thing that everyone's hearing through media, through social media, traditional media, fake news, if you want to call it that way, right? And then word of mouth.
So well, for sure, social media is fake news. Come on.
Right. Okay. So what we are talking about is some of the postings on social media where there are a handful of individuals, and I know this does not encompass everyone who's on the program, because the program does have some benefits. I will say that there's a safety net involved with it because people do utilize it responsibly.
To back up what you're saying, there was a time in my life where everything fell apart. Sure, I take responsibility for some of it, some of it not. Doesn't matter. I needed those crutches to survive, but it was a short period of time. It was never intended to stand. So I get it. I've been there.
And that's what it's designed for.
I've been there. And I think because I've been there, I can talk through this a little bit with I think I got some credibility on it because I've done it.
Been there, done
and
that.
And I didn't
right.
want to do it,
right.
but I needed it. And that's what it's supposed to have been there for. Not live on, not all of this. And now when we hear, like you're saying, people just think it's fake money that we owe them. The taxpayers should be working to give them food.
Right.
What kind of logic is that?
It doesn't make any sense.
What are we
at all?
Doing?
Well, and we have now created a faction of people. I don't want to say a generation of people. There's a faction of people out there who truly believe that the EBT program is a right and not a privilege,
yeah.
and that they can utilize all the funds that taxpayers pour into these pools and use it for anything they want simply because the government gives them to them. Mm. Now, there have been some proposals by other people online and social media saying if you're going to be on an EBT program or any type of government assistance program, food stamps, that you should be regulated to buy healthier foods and not be given the opportunity to purchase, as we call, junk food, potato chips, Oreos, salty snacks, blah, 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 right? I would tend to agree with that. Because the program is designed as a temporary safety net.
Yeah.
When you give individuals free rein to do with it whatever they want to do with it, and I'm not trying to tell people how to live their lives, nor am I going to pretend to say I have any right within your home to tell you what you should or shouldn't buy. However, If you are utilizing a government program, and I'll equate this to something else in a second here. If you're going to utilize a government program to live off of, there should be some stipulations. And as an example, in this day and age, if you're going to use some level of government funding, so for churches, for example, I know of a church that went to the city to say, hey, we want to create a program to allow children to go to school for free. We want to create some type of housing program, a daycare type program, so forth and so on. So they went to the state, went to the city and said, is there funding for that to help us promote that type of program? Sure is. But to do that, you have to acknowledge all these different, in the church's words, there were some immoral clauses that the church does not believe in, nor should they. And I'm not going to get into that now because that'll cause a whole bunch of other issues. See,
we got to keep each other in check.
Yep. But there were many, many strings attached to that. So riddle me this, Batman. If you can't, as a church, use funding for the good and taking care of your community without strings, why then are there no strings with the EBT program?
I got my hand in the air.
Yes, sir. Answer, please.
Voting.
Ah, yes.
If you want to get reelected, what better way to get reelected but to give away things that aren't yours to the masses?
There you go. How does that make any
vote
sense?
Vote for me. I'll give you everything because it doesn't cost me anything.
Now, put in context, both sides of the aisle, they do use that same tactic.
Of course they do, but we're not talking. We're talking EBT. We're talking these things. And let's be honest as well, that's why the right side of the aisle is typically not as popular with the groups using it, because they believe in one of the premises of the Republican Party is self-accountability.
Yes.
Working, doing things for yourself, smaller government, where the other side is government programs to take care of everybody.
Yep.
You can't fight that or deny it. They openly admit to it. So your example of the church, let's just make it personal. I'm short this week. Can you loan me $1,000?
Right? Sure.
So what is EBT? What is a typical food stamp? $1,000 a week? I mean, what ballpark? Let's just say it's $1,000. I think I'm low.
You might be a little low.
Let's just say they get $1,000, okay? For a family of four.
$1,500, $2,000.
Whatever. Say it's $1,000. I don't care. Let's just do the math, make it simple. $1,000 a week. First of all, what are you buying for $1,000 a week in groceries? But I digress. I'm short this week. really need food, man. Can I get $1,000 from you this week? I mean, I can't pay it back, but will you give me $1,000? If you have it and you're generous, you'll say, sure. How are you going to feel when you find out that I went and bought a video game system, some toys for my kids, some ice cream,
some Slim Jims.
Some Slim Jims, maybe some Fruit Loops.
Well, the Slim Jims are the food. There you go.
Okay.
You
can't argue with that. Yeah, sure. But when you find out that I'm filling my freezer full of crap.
Right.
And nothing nutritious.
Right.
And I took your money and I used it frivolously. How do you feel?
Honestly, I'm not going to be so inclined to help you next time.
No, but the government program forces you into it. It is enslavement. We don't get a choice.
It really is.
You can donate to food banks. That's your choice. Mm-hmm. And the food banks are typically very full.
Sure.
But when the government steps in, you are mandated to give. You have no choice of where that dollar goes.
Correct.
It can be wasted. It could be used in any way they feel, because they're given a little debit card and said, you just go to the store and use whatever you need off it. Where, to your point, if either A, we go back to the government cheese program and bread lines, nobody wants that. So I'll say no, that's a bad idea. Although on the surface, I think it's a good idea. But it's impractical.
Yeah.
So fine. Then let's do one of two things. Let's lock this card down to healthy food items only, real foods, vegetables.
Just call it the staples.
I think you would have to narrow it down. I think somebody would have to go in from the FDA, and I hate the FDA, but who else are you going to use?
Another topic.
So you're going to need somebody quasi-qualified, and big time air quoting here, to go in and designate what staples would be. But it's going to be bread, eggs, cheese, milk, so dairy products and eggs, some basic meats. You don't need steak. Chicken works just fine.
I can't have a filet
Yeah,
mignon.
You don't get the frivolous because
the T-bone
because you're not paying for it. Go get a job and then buy the T-bone.
So you get flank steak.
Yeah,
ground beef.
That's even too much. Ground turkey. I don't know, you but go. You're getting Something a healthy
yeah,
protein.
Yeah, I'm following.
You're
you.
Getting milk. You're getting cheese. You're yeah. getting some carbohydrate in the bread, butter, maybe peanut butter.
Yeah. I
okay.
Gotcha. Yep.
You don't need Fruit Loops, and you don't need gummy bears, and you don't need soda pop.
Well, I'll go with you on that one too. So you can basically that's basically been done for anyone who's taken their child to a daycare center. The daycare center, they are mandated to give your child nutritious foods, and the foods that are set aside. There's a designation of what you can and what you cannot give.
So
to
you're
a
saying
child
the government is telling daycare what they have to feed the children, but not the parents.
But not the parents.
I wonder
right?
why that is.
Isn't that insane?
Don't you think maybe because the parents vote?
How about that?
All comes back to the money. Follow the money.
Follow the money.
How am I going to stay in office?
So, riddle me this, Batman.
Okay.
You have daycares that are mandated. Daycares that are mandated. We could even go into voter ID laws. I know.
Oh,
crazy tip-top. crazy tiptoeing topic.
There's a Pandora's box is cracked.
But it all goes along the same lines, right?
Yeah.
I can't go to a liquor store and buy alcohol without showing ID if I look too young to buy.
You're not supposed to buy without right? showing ID.
Without
period.
Showing ID, right? Yeah. I can't get to your point of a loan. I can't go to a bank and get a loan without showing some form of ID to prove who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be allowed, or they want me to go in allowed and vote for whatever elected official, whatever official I'm voting for, and not be required to show an ID card.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense. Daycares have to provide a certain type of nutrition to mm-hmm. their children,
mm-hmm.
mandated by the government. But for EBT cards, there are zero mandates whatsoever, and there's no stipulations, right? It's just given freely.
Well, there's an income verification, but basically you just don't have to work. They don't even care if you're capable of work. You just don't have the income because you don't work.
And that's when even that is insane because there are very able-bodied individuals who are on this program.
Yep.
And again, just like you said, there are times in the person's life where, yeah, look, a safety net is required. I don't have any problems with paying for a safety net. I think that's the beauty of this country itself, that we are supposed to take care of each other.
Yeah.
Right? We are called to by God to take care
of us.
Right? Exactly. So I don't have a problem with the program.
It's called welfare. It's not called reliance.
Yes. I have a problem with how it's being utilized. And now we have individuals who are stating, it is not my job to go out and get a job. That's why you guys work. You taxpayers
pay
are paying
me.
For me. I'm not going to go work. I'm sure many of you out there have heard and seen the same exact thing I've seen, and you, my brother,
have
seen
to look
as well.
Far.
Don't have to look far at all.
Not right now.
If that doesn't infuriate you, especially the ones, if you are getting up at the crack of dawn to go make even minimum wage, then how is it possible this person can get up on social media and declare you are their source? Mm. How dare you ask them to
You'd
go
think
to
that
work
was brazen.
Even for just 10 or 20 hours a week? That's all we're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
10, 20 hours a week? That's all you have to do? And you get the card?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that sounds super brazen to me on the surface, but the simple fact that it's not to this person or people, mm-hmm. I've seen more than one person saying very, very similar things, that now it's become entitlement. And everybody hates that word, but what else do you call it? I'm entitled to this money is literally what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve to have your money.
Mm-hmm.
You go to work and work. Well, guess what, man? We're to the point now, round figures, what, 400 million immigrants? I'm going to be super nice and not call them the I word. In this country under the Biden administration.
Correct.
And I think that number is super low, but we're just going to say 400 million were dumped into this country. Now, some are working, sure. But that's still 400 more million mouths to feed if they don't have children. And once they have kids, you know, you double or triple that number. We already are buying beef from other countries to try and feed our mouths.
Correct.
We don't have solvent programs in this country where partly why the deficit continues to increase is we're putting more money into these food programs and I'm going to call them welfare programs, although they're not being used for welfare, they're being abused. And that's the problem when these processes and these programs are abused at the level that they are, where people look at them with entitlement, we're at a tipping point, and we may be over that tipping point where it's the breaking point of socialism. When there's more people drawing off the system than there are people paying into the system, the system becomes defunct. And what comes? Revolution ensues, because that's the only thing left.
Right.
And I don't want to be here saying I'm calling for revolution. I'm saying at some point, when you tip the wrong way of this scale, that's all that's left.
The anger gets to the point where it can't be contained anymore. And I don't know that we're there yet, right? But it does feel...
We're creeping up on it, is what I'm trying to say.
It's very scary how much closer we are now than we were before.
Mm-hmm.
And again, please do not misconstrue what we're saying.
No.
We believe in a safety program. We believe in a welfare program. But there has to be some level of stipulation. Listen, life is hard. And getting harder. Life happens. I get it. Not everyone has the same opportunity. Not everyone has the same level of privilege. And I'm not talking this nonsense, white privilege, black privilege, brown privilege. None of that.
Opportunity is the right
opportunities,
word.
Opportunities, right? No, not everyone has the same level of opportunities, and I get that. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has the same opportunity for a level of education, whether it be high school or higher or grad, whatever. They don't have the same opportunities. So life is hard. So yes, there are people in this country that need a little bit of a hand, a little assistance, but it can't be a lifelong, and not just lifelong, generational. It's generational. Right. I heard a young woman say, well, my parents are on this, so I know I have to have it. I grew up on it, so now I'm using the system. My grandparents use the same system too. So, yeah, you can't take it away. This is how we live.
Well, that's our purpose, because this is what I have.
Yeah.
You're right. We're not out here slamming the system. Our goal, if you've listened to us any length of time at all, we've said this so many times, I'll say it right now. Our goal is to make you think.
That's it. We
may have an opinion that you find inflammatory. Good. I'm glad it made you mad. Now think. Do we have a solution? How do we get food prices down? Well, partly the food prices are high because we're giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much to go around. It's called supply and demand.
Correct.
When gasoline is in low supply, what happens to the price?
Price goes up.
When gold is in low supply, what happens
price
to the...
Price goes up.
When food is in low supply compared to the population, what happens price to the price? Price
goes up.
So, we are in a spiral. We're giving away too much, we're not producing enough or cannot produce
enough. We can't produce enough.
And we're reducing our number of farmers and farmland because we have to house all of these people. And as we house more people, we lose the ability to produce our own food and start relying on other nations.
Why do I feel like a gerbil in a wheel?
Which leads me to my next topic. That food has to be moved around the country and across the globe because we're buying it from overseas and down in Mexico, southern borders. We're shipping food in by boat.
Trucks?
Then it gets here on the boats and it gets unloaded onto what?
The trucks.
Trucks, shipping containers or trains. But after the train, it still ends up on a truck. You don't see a train pulling into your local Walmart, Kroger, Meijer, whatever you want to call it.
Correct.
Hmm. Now we've got a new crisis that's looming that nobody's talking about.
Yep.
What's that?
The transportation crunch with the new CDL, the domiciled CDL program.
And explain
drivers
that.
Speaking English. So the transportation department has put out a regulation stating that if you cannot proficiently speak English or understand English,
read a street sign,
right? They're pulling you out of your truck. They are shutting the truck down. It could be en route to its destination. That truck is shut down. The driver is pulled out, his license pulled, and that driver can no longer get into the vehicle. That driver is no longer part of the CDL Class A pool.
I know somebody firsthand has had that happen, exactly that. Yeah. They were in the middle of the country. I think he was in Nebraska. Pulled in to unload. They came up to him, checked his status, and he's a green card carrier with legal representation, going mm-hmm. through, has been going through the process of becoming a legal citizen. He's mm-hmm. here legally. All of that's good. And he speaks English well, but because he is not a citizen.
He's not. Yep.
Right.
He is not a domicile correct. CDLA yep. class A.
What happened correct. Was they parked his truck there, took it away, didn't take the truck away, but took away his ability to drive, canceled his license, and he had to get a cab or a ride home back to Michigan. Mm. To which then he's not even mad about it. He actually understands, which is the crazy thing because everybody's all flying off the handle. But he's like, nah, I get it. I don't like it, but I understand. Mm-hmm. So he actually made the best of it. And there's people that I, to their credit, and I want to give them credit right now, are not milking the system. He could have sat back and gathered this sure, EBT, absolutely. Whatever. Right? What do? He drives from Grand Rapids, Michigan to Chicago 3.5 hours every day to go drive a box truck for a company in Chicago. And he's saving his money. He figures within about 2 months, he'll have enough money to buy his own box truck, move back home and run that. And he's going to hire a domicile driver to drive his big rig so he can continue to make money and pay on his truck.
Where
and
I'm there's like, a will, there's a way.
My man.
Yeah.
It's can not fair, be is it? It's not fair. And we hear that a lot. It's not fair. It was not fair to this man.
Absolutely.
But this man said, okay, and I still live in the land of opportunity, and I'm going to make the best of it. And he's doing it.
And I see both sides of it, right? So I understand the need to make our roads safer. We've had some pretty heinous accidents, which is what mm-hmm. was a catalyst for this whole process sure. in the first place. So I understand that process. There's a better way to do it. There's more notification that could have been given rather than ripping the Band-Aid mm-hmm. off the way they did.
They seemed saying, a little knee-jerk, didn't it?
Absolutely. Now, they're saying that this will only affect 2% of the CDL carrying drivers in the world. Now, here's where the fallacy comes into play. Okay. They're not distinguishing between active CDL holders and non-active. So there are individuals who sit behind an office or behind a computer or simply just have their CDL for the just-in-case moment. Those individuals are in that pool. So when you put all of them in the pool with the active drivers, that 2% doesn't look so bad. But when you're actually going after drivers who are on the road active, going through the process, making transportation happen, the number really is closer to 20%, 25%. Their numbers are –
So you're saying almost a quarter of the drivers on the road correct. Are going to be eliminated or correct. Are, have been eliminated.
Or have been, right? So I'm hearing numbers close to – I believe it was between 2,000 and 7,000 drivers so far have already been pulled out.
So – if you think about that, that's a big number.
It's huge.
But what are we rolling into right now? Christmas. Thanksgiving.
Holidays, yes.
The busiest season. Time of the year for transit.
Correct.
And we're going to cut 25% of the workforce.
Correct. Now, here again, so we talk about all of these different programs that we have to fund. People, I'm here to tell you, we pull out 25% of CDL drivers, active CDL drivers, because of this program. And again, I'm not suggesting that the program is wrong. I think it is needed to properly well, regulate the safety needed. On the road. And there are companies out there who are genuinely hurting because we do have foreign agents, foreign actors coming in, posing themselves as trucking companies, hiring non-domiciled and non-qualified drivers to get in these vehicles, and they're dropping the rates so low that our American companies
because they don't have to
compete.
Pay their drivers
exactly,
or they pay them pennies.
They pay them pennies compared to what American drivers. So I understand why it's needed. Right? There's a better way to do that, but people, I'm here to tell you, once those drivers pull out and these companies have to adjust, you go from a company that has 40 drivers, now you're forced to bring them down to, let's say a 15-driver fleet or a 12-driver fleet.
Let's just say half of 20 drivers.
Let's say 10.
Okay,
right? 10 drivers you got left out of your 20. That is automatically and organically going to shoot the rates through the roof.
Well, so what are they going to do? What's their option?
Well, what happens what's that is company's option? You go out of the business or you consolidate with a larger company. Right? That company merges into a larger trucking outfit. Now that trucking outfit says, okay, so the capacity is gone. I've got it all. So guess what?
So monopoly.
Now the rates.
Yeah, because we all know what happens when we monopolize.
Exactly. Right? So
I control the runs. I control the movement of produce. And correct. You want it? just like supply and demand.
You gotta pay.
There's a lot of demand, and guess who can supply the drivers, baby?
So you think the prices in the store are high now? Wait till this happens. Now I will say there are companies out there who are big enough to push around some of these individuals and say, no, we're not going to pay this.
Eventually,
it has to break. Right? So your prices are going to continue to go higher. Who's buying at that point? So again, you can see this cycle of disaster.
And I think we're saying this is not as an accusatory thing, but this is a wake up call.
Absolutely,
it is. We all think things are getting better. They're not. They're getting worse simply because these are the things that happen when you let in all of these illegals. You let in, and I use the word, I know, but they're not here legally, so deal with it. You let in all these people who are undocumented, should not be here.
They shouldn't be here in the capacity that they are.
Be here. Right? They don't belong here. They don't have documentation to be here. That's been proven. These accidents were undocumented people that couldn't even read the language.
They couldn't even articulate what had really happened to the officers.
And we give them driver's licenses because we want them to vote.
Correct.
They don't know how to drive. They don't know our street signs. That one accident I'm thinking of, I can't remember, is it L.A.? Middle Eastern driver.
He made a U-turn in the middle of the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was one not that long ago where the guy was high on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the video, the car between him and the semi truck. He never touched the brakes.
Never touched the brakes.
On a highway
it's
flattened four people.
Yep. Pretty heinous.
And that's what's happening because we've let in all these people who need jobs. And, well, of course, there's more nefarious things than just those people, right? There's actors behind the scenes that now have my people are in place. Well, now we can start running trucks, or now we can start running whatever and start undercutting the American businesses. And see, we're rabbit hole in this thing, but it really all feeds into the same problem.
Yes.
When we open the floodgates and put in more people than we can manage, and the ones that do need to work or want to work are able to undercut the entire system. And then they are given free driver's licenses without any kind of requirement so that they can vote. But now they have a driver's license, so now I can go get a CDL, right? I can show I can drive a truck, so I got a CDL. Well, now that happens. Well, now the government has a knee-jerk reaction, which is this is what always happens. Mm-hmm. This isn't just the current administration. It's just the nature of government.
Correct.
Ooh, we got to stop this. Let's stop it now, right? And nobody thinks of the repercussions, and then it's too late. And I hope you catch my tone. This is snowballing, and this ball is rolling downhill. It hadn't just started. We're like halfway down the mountain right now. This thing's huge. And there's no simple fix. Like, everybody's going to go, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to fix it? I wish I could tell you.
Yeah,
without a tremendous amount of pain, and really, the knee-jerk reaction is almost the right one, I think. You just have to say, okay, stop.
Yeah.
At some point, you have to stop to start over. You can't ease out of this thing, because how are you stopping that snowball? It's got way too much momentum.
Yeah.
We need to blow up the snowball and go, okay, start over. Right? And it sounds foolish, and do I want that? Oh, no.
We have to have some more common sense, right? People who are on programs, they really need it won't happen, but there needs to be some common sense into what they're doing, right?
You're trying to have government common sense.
I'm holding out hope, and I'm holding on to my faith that there will be someone who will arrive and step up and say, okay, look, I get it. You need help. You need assistance. You need a job.
Can I have a little bit of what you're smoking?
It's good stuff.
It sounds good.
I mean,
I really pray for that, but somewhere. I just don't see it. I am smoking some of what you're smoking. As far back as I can see in history, I've never seen a government in this country or any other one that has common sense.
No, unfortunately not. One can hold out hope. I have faith that the people in this country can at some point come together and make some really, again, just some common sense decisions. We're not all going to like the decisions. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care what your race, religion, creed, background. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make everybody happy. But there has to be some type of common ground that you can agree upon. Whether it be an EBT, whether it be SNAP, whether it's daycares, whether it's CDL, whether it's investments, whatever it is, there has to be something that we can agree on. So Americans are going hungry. people in this country going hungry because of the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats, I don't give a rip about the increase in going back to and blah, blah, blah. There's a clean CR out there.
Mm-hmm.
Get back in office.
Do vote right.
Yes, and then negotiate, right? Because voting yes gets food back to people. We can talk about what the dollars and cents and EBT, all of that later on. Mm-hmm. But right now, there are people who are hungry and need to be fed. Stop with the BS feed the people.
Stop playing the games. Just vote.
Yep.
They're literally, for those of you that want to argue this point, think of it this way. They're literally arguing against a short-term vote, a short-term bill.
Which they voted for many times before.
Yes.
In the same way as it's been provided.
They're arguing against a short-term bill to manage a long-term bill.
Correct.
We want this long-term. We want that long-term. So we won't vote there for this to help people because it's our leverage. And they've said it's our leverage.
Yes.
So we can get what we want long-term. That's the definition of insanity right there. And that's a clear indicator they do not care about the average person or anyone but them. They want to keep their jobs, and they're being pressured by the people who, the lobbyists and the people who pay a lot of money to put them in those jobs.
When your annual salary is between $100,000 and $130,000 a year, but your net worth is between $9 and $15 million, they don't really care.
Yeah, you can be in office for 40 years. You're not getting $9 or $10 million from $130,000 a year.
Correct.
You're not getting a million.
Not
if
happening.
You saved every penny, folks, let's do quick math. $130,000 a year, you saved every penny, didn't spend a dime on anything, it's $13 million in 10 years. No, sorry. My math's wrong. $1.3 million. So you're just over a million, not nine, not 10.
Decimals. Whole different topic, whole different podcast,
so
brother.
Math doesn't work, folks. Yeah.
The math ain't
people happening. Are paying them outside of you and I.
Yes.
And that's why they don't care about the shutdown.
Correct.
Because they may not get their government check, but they're getting paid plenty from everyone else. A government check is a joke to them. Yeah. And here we are, and we pay for it. What we talk about regularly on this podcast is us, the people, not the government. When we gripe about the government, we gripe about the stupidity that people complain and the illogical nature of everything. But listen, this gets fixed by us. We come together. Guys on the right, Trump isn't always right. He's done some dumb things. He says some dumb things. There's some programs like this snap to judgment on the trucking, I think is dumb.
Correct. I agree.
But then there also has to be some understanding on the left side of the aisle that paying EBT for anything and everything at the rate that they're getting paid is also dumb.
Makes no sense.
Can we not compromise and both agree, you know what, both sides have really screwed this up? And the more we fight like we're fighting, the further we get away from the middle ground where we go, you know what, there is some common sense to this. There's some common sense to what we give people for food. There's common sense for what we do with income tax. There's common sense of how we handle immigration. There's common sense with how we handle the trucking crisis. There's common sense about all of these things. But we don't want to do that. We want to get polarized because the politicians love us polarized.
Correct.
Right?
That's
the
correct.
More polarized we are, the more entrenched in voting for the side we like, despite their policies or how whack, off-center, no common sense they are, we love them more because we're so polarized.
Yep.
You're so negatively charged, you're one way, and you're so positively charged the other way, and there's no way in hell you're coming together.
Yeah, we have gotten to the point where you can't properly articulate why you dislike an individual in politics.
Yeah.
It's simply, I hate that person. Okay, well, what have they done? Well, they said this. They did that.
What's the policy?
They didn't do that and didn't say that. So where'd you get that from? Well, the news told me.
Or
the media.
Social media.
It's all over the place.
Somebody on Facebook.
It has to be true. Okay, guys.
But that's just it. And that's the nature of politics now. Politics used to be battle of ideals. Now it's just polarization. Who can energize and polarize their group so much that their MAGA, as everybody calls it, or Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, you take those two things and they're the polarizations of all of it, right?
Correct. Yep.
So-and-so is your Lord and Savior on this party and they're Lord and Savior on this party. I'm like, oh, really? That's where we're at now?
Truly forgotten.
No kings. Screw the kings. Truly we got forgotten. Gods.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. We absolutely don't. No insane. Kings, but we want gods.
Yeah.
My God's bigger than your God now, right? I mean, that's I'm
you're not wrong.
Weird saying it, but that's really what we've gotten to now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, bro, we have shot our half hour just like that, wow. And we've solved nothing.
But, absolutely,
and I feel nothing. No better.
Well, hopefully, you guys out there in the academy have received enough to just stop and think, right? Maybe you have a conversation with your neighbor or a family member that you know for a fact is going to disagree with your thought process. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on.
Yeah.
Hopefully, this gave you something to kind of dig into and have some conversation about. And maybe down the road someday, enough of you have listened and can reach the right ears to maybe make a difference somewhere.
Well, let's just try to edge closer to the center.
It would be nice.
Let's concede that we're not always right. And maybe somebody challenging us might be more right or just plain right and we're wrong.
Correct.
We don't always have all the ideas, people. We're all screwed up. So, I mean, that's my call to action here. Let's come together a little bit. Let's concede that maybe I'm not always right. And you know what? Maybe you are today. Mm-hmm. That makes some sense. I don't like it, but you know, that kind of makes sense. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
If we could do that, maybe we could fix something.
We may have a fighting chance.
But if we just go down a road where I just said, man, we're so polarized that we aren't even listening. We're name calling. We're threatening to kill each other because of ideals. We don't. There's no prayer. The society's over. Mm-hmm. It's doomed.
Yeah. And there we have it.
And that's it for this week's episode of the Common Sense Academy, where no common sense exists and no solutions either.
Yeah.
But as my brother said, I hope y'all got a little worked up along with us. I hope you're not angry, but you may maybe a little angry, but you're thinking. You're thinking. And keep thinking. Think of how you can do something to make it better. Let's have some self-accountability. Let's be the one to break the ice and say, yeah, you know what? You might be right. Let's talk about it.
Yep.
Yep. All right, bro. It's time to go.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for checking in with us this week, everybody. And as always, try to be good to each other.
God bless everybody.